Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
We are off and running here tonight. It is a Friday night special edition of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And as always, I thank you for tuning in. We are streaming at ESPN975.com. And of course, I follow the greatness of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman. I almost said AJ De La Garza because AJ De La Garza is now a member of the Houston Dynamo from the LA Galaxy, and he will be on the show tonight. So again, we stream at ESPN975.com on the Internet Highway. It's a great place to listen. Lots of great topics to talk about tonight. You can call into the show, as always, 713-780-3776. Don't be afraid to speak your mind tonight. Now, I know it's Friday night. A lot of you are out and about. You may be in the car. But speak your mind. Agree, disagree with callers, with the moi co-host. But do it, because it's easy to type something in forums. That's easy. But it takes more courage to come on live and talk. Some breaking news. Little Birdie told me that Manchester United is going to be playing in Austin, Texas in July. Something to sink your teeth into, United fans. 713-780-3776 tonight. We're going to talk Wayne Rooney. We have some sound from the greatness called Sir Alex Ferguson. Talk about the effects of the Super Bowl here in Houston. And soccer content coming through Energy Stadium with Texans president Jamie Rutz. As mentioned, new Dynamo signing AJ De La Garza on the show. And then we have the model of consistency named Ricardo Clark. How will De La Garza, who, by the way, is a great signing for the Dynamo, how's he going to fit in? What does this year look like for Ricardo Clark? Going to talk a little bit about Wilmer Cabrera and kind of what we see coming out of the mind of Wilmer Cabrera right now. And he was the only choice for Dynamo manager at this point because the Dynamo had to make this shift. And they've benefited from all the contacts Wilmer has in Central America and South America. Matt Jordan, the general manager, will also join us on this show. And we are hoping to have Jordan Morris of the U.S. men's national team. They are in action on Sunday. They will take on Serbia. Their roster was cut down to 23 by Bruce Arena. We'll talk about that as well tonight. So all of this on the table for you. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776, the number to call in tonight. All right, so over at Facebook, Soccer Matters, posted a number of different topics. So if you want to get over there, check out Soccer Matters over on Facebook. So Wayne Rooney's been in the news with his record set. His amazing career at Manchester United. He's got a different defined role. An hour ago, there's an article put out by The Express saying Rooney's ready to quit Manchester United after a Jose Mourinho snub. Remember, Rooney became the all-time leading goal scorer at Manchester United, surpassing Sir Bobby Charlton, scoring that goal is 250th against Stoke. Now, according to The Sun, and, you know, we don't know how reliable all this stuff is, Rooney is now open to a huge move to China. Who isn't being linked to China? Probably only me. MLS, there's been a talk about a destination for him in Major League Soccer. I don't think they'd be able to pay the Chinese dowry type money. But he's 31 now. In the pecking order of strikers, under Jose Mourinho. And he's in that position now where he could cash in the final years, making huge money. How much is enough? I don't know. But Rooney didn't start in the cup play last night. So he's got 18 months left on his contract with Manchester United. He's been one of the all-time greats there. So let's, you know what, Cameron? Let's play some of the Sir Alex Ferguson sound on Wayne Rooney, because I think when you hear from Sir Alex Ferguson, who, by the way, is the man who brought Rooney over from Everton, I just think this is great stuff to hear from Sir Alex. So here's Sir Alex Ferguson on Wayne Rooney.
We were aware of him when he was 14 years of age. Jim Ryan had flagged him up in the Everton Academy, and there was something we paid attention to, but he wouldn't leave the academy at that time. When he became 16, we tried again, but he still wouldn't leave. Then when Walter Smith became assistant, he says, "You need to get Rooney." He says, "He's the best young player in the game." And that's when we started to be serious. Made overtures to Everton. They, of course, resisted. We kept at it. Then the day came down to a price. And it was decided when we played Everton at Old Trafford. And we had Bill Kenwright in our office, David Moyes, and my wee auto office downstairs, Morris Watkins, David Gill, and myself, thrashing out the deal. And Bill Kenwright then goes on his phone, and he hands it, he says, "It's my mother." I said, "What?" "It's my mother wants to talk to you." She says, "Don't you dare steal my boy." I swear, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, we thrashed out the deal, 27 million, 18 years of age. But you know, the price doesn't come into it. When you see the value of a player with that and his age, that's the best way to determine buying him. At the end of the day, the price doesn't matter for Manchester United. If it's 5 million, it doesn't matter. The important thing is to get time, length of time, and it's turned out he's still there. Cool. With two good feet, although he's basically, you know, his strength is his right foot, of course, but he's got a good left foot. He's aggressive. That was the thing that really impressed me most. When he attacked defenders, he knocked them out of the road. His urge to get forward and create from difficult positions were tremendous. This great desire. You know, I think that all the great strikers in the game have always this courage. And they've never been deterred by a tackle or a foul or aggressive defenders. Never bothers them. Give me the ball. And that's what great strikers have got, that courage to play. And of course, his debut was what dreams are made of. A hat-trick and a debut for Manchester United. I don't know if anyone else has done that. Well, he was actually, he was a little bit overawed, but you know, that time he was probably saying, pinching themselves, says, "You probably think this is easy." You know, the hard days are ahead. No, he was very elated. He was excited about it. You know, the potential was there. I mean, that's why we bought him, because you could see that. And I think Walter Smith's words were very apt. He says he's the best young player in Britain, and that's exactly right. You can never imagine, to be honest with you. The problem with the modern day game, although Manchester United are very fortunate that players do tend to stay a good length of time. Ryan Giggs, 20 years, Paul Scholes, etc. Wayne is now 11 years, I think, now, isn't it? Roy Keane, 11 years, Dennis Irwin. You know, we're a string of players that have existed at the club for long, long periods. But I couldn't think it was ever going to beat Bobby Charlton's record. I don't think I could ever think anybody could beat Bobby Charlton's record, because it's quite a substantial record, you know. And he's done it 200 games short of Bobby, you know, the different positions, but nonetheless, it's an achievement par excellence. Well, the Newcastle game was anger. The referee refused to give him a free kick, or it was fouled in the halfway line or something like that, and the game developed, and he's angry at the referee, and he just fell on him, and he absolutely murdered the ball. I'm taking it out in the referee. He whacked it. But the best goal was definitely against Man City. Absolutely, without question. It was phenomenal. And the thing about it was, it got a deflection, the ball. So as he's making the run towards the box when Nani crosses it, it's taking the deflection away from him and forced him into mobilising his body to do what he did, which makes it even better. And I remember saying to him after, I said, you know, I said, this is true, by the way. I'd got a letter the previous week from an old Rangers fan, proud of what you've done and that. And he, at the moment, says, always remember your overhead kicks. And I mentioned this to Rooney, and he said, I'll be buddy right. He refused to believe me. Oh, it was unbelievable. Particularly in a derby game with that. And we weren't doing actually, we were quite struggling at that point. Certainly to come back into the game. We were leading 1-0 at half time and they equalised. And that came out of the blue, the goal. And of course, it just kept, the crowd was just up. We were never going to lose from that point. The crowd was just up there. No. In the present day game, and it's getting more and more like it, it's difficult to see where any club, maybe not so much United, have players who can last 10 years or stay 10 years with them. So I think that's the issue. Now, Jose has mentioned Marcus Rashford, and that's an opportunity for that young lad if he stays at United and develops his potential the way that Wayne has. It's possible, but I think it's a very big target to hit. I mean, it's 42 years it lasted.
So that's Sir Alex Ferguson. That is some interesting sound from that legendary manager. Now, a couple of side notes here. If you remember, Wayne Rooney was at Everton from 2002 to 2004. It was an acrimonious departure because Rooney grew up in the shadows of Everton in Liverpool. They didn't want the native son to leave. You heard him reference his mother, who said, don't steal my boy. Everton came here to the United States and to what was, I don't remember what was the sponsor of the stadium, which is now Energy Stadium. Lone Star Sports and Entertainment brought Everton over and they played Club America. Rooney did not come because he was in the process of being sold by Everton, but David Moyes was the manager of Everton at that time. So, interesting little bit of a side note there. But then, of course, Rooney goes on to have this remarkable career. Now there's a talk of him going to China, going to Major League Soccer. A couple of things I took out of that Ferguson interview. The courage that the great strikers have. That's what he mentioned. The other thing, remember in there, they were tracking Rooney at 14. Now, this reminds you the eye for talent that Sir Alex Ferguson had and or his network had. Pretty incredible. He mentions and talks about the greats having long careers at individual clubs. How many guys are playing 10 years at one team now? You know, because there's just so much money to be made being mobile and moving around from club to club. Ferguson also went on to say that he never thought he would beat Bobby Charlton's record, goal-scoring record. And then he talked, as you heard at the end of that interview, about Marcus Rashford, saying that he could potentially be the next Wayne Rooney, but then you saw him pull off that position a little bit, not to set the bar too high for Marcus Rashford. But pretty cool stuff there from Sir Alex Ferguson about Wayne Rooney. Now, let's move on to Sir Alex talking about the current Manchester United team with the new manager, Jose Mourinho.
I think he's done really well. I think that it seems like a player coming to United. It's not easy. It's not easy coming to United and transform the club's fortunes from my time. It's not easy. And I think Louis van Gaal did a good job, and I think Jose's doing a great job, and he's got to grips with the club. You can see that. The team's playing really well. And he's very unlucky because he's had 6 draws, I think, 1 each draws. And every game he's battered that team. And the example was Saturday, 32 shots a goal. I think Stoke, I don't think there's a shot on target, Stoke, you know that? We get a draw. But, like all United teams, they played right to the last kick of the ball. They never gave in. and they got their rewards and took something from the game, and that great Rooney goal got them a goal. Did you see what Rooney did? Ran to the halfway line. No celebration. Pointed the ball, get the ball. We're going to win this. And that's exactly the spirit Josie's created now. He's done fantastic. Yeah, of course, and I experienced it myself at times when I first came at the beginning. I'm saying to myself, you know, the job of a manager is to find solutions when you're not doing well. And when I came at United at first, I kept looking back in the history of the club, how there was leagues and all that. It was doing me no good whatsoever. Instead, I went forward and getting solutions to how we can improve the situation. I was a little bit different from Josie in this respect that I wanted to build the football club and wanted young players to be part of that. But nonetheless, as it's happening, the first team weren't doing great, and you have to find solutions to correct that. And I think that Josie is finding solutions now. There was a period there in the season when he wasn't getting decisions and his emotions boiled over. He is an emotional guy. There's no question about that. I think people from these countries, what, Portugal, Spain, Italy, have got that emotional part of them, and it shows, and it showed very much in terms of how Josie handled that part. But now you see him now, he's calm, he's in control. The team's mirroring its manager. It's playing with great energy, determination, will to win, which I think is really important. I think so too, I really do. And I think if he hadn't got all these draws, he'd be there challenging Chelsea. That's the unfortunate part, but he's going to have to live with that. But I think he'll be inspired by the progress of the team. Yeah, well, his first trophy at Chelsea was against Liverpool in the League Cup final. So, deja vu, I hope.
More from Sir Alex Ferguson there on the current manager, Jose Mourinho, and Manchester United currently talks about Mourinho's emotions in the beginning of the year that they had boiled over. He's talked about him being more comfortable now. Love the quote where he says, the job of a manager is to find solutions. Solutions to improve situations. But he also mentioned that he thought Louis van Gaal did a good job. I mean, that could be politically motivated as well. Who knows? Great stuff from Sir Alex Ferguson there on Wayne Rooney and the current Manchester United squad under Jose Mourinho. Big shout out to my friends and the students. Mr. Wells, the teacher at Carter Lomax Middle School in Pasadena. I come home from what was a sort of a late vacation, and I got a folder in the mail full of handwritten letters from all these students. And they are the cutest, the nicest, the most touching letters you could imagine. Handwritten. And I credit Mr. Wells. A handwritten letter goes a long way. It shows that somebody spent some time. But they're some of the cutest and the nicest and most interesting little notes after going down there for career day. So thank you very much, Carter Lomax Middle School. Very thoughtful to send those, and those are going to be notes that I keep forever. Take a little bit of a break here. Reminder, tomorrow the African Nations Cup is on there into the quarterfinals. Burkina Faso against Tunisia, Senegal and Cameroon, Congo against Ghana, Egypt against Morocco. Those are the quarterfinals. Those are great games to watch, I believe, on BN Sport. Couple of questions to throw out to you before we go to break. U.S. roster's trimmed down. They're going to take on Serbia. Any thoughts on the U.S. roster? Dynamo, year of revival. There's no doubt about it. They've got to become more relevant. Do you think this is going to be an interesting year for the Dynamo? Vicente Sanchez. I know that was a bit polarizing. Some of you like the signing, some of you don't. Tim Howard and Jermaine Jones trading different thoughts on commitment to the U.S. national team. Do you have thoughts on that? What about the Arsene Wenger four-match ban? Is it enough? Tigres signing Eduardo Vargas from Hoffenheim. This may be the highest profile signing in the offseason in the Mexican League. Take a break. It's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Talk about Wilmer Cabrera, the Houston Dynamo, the depth chart of this team. So much more to come tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a Daspit Law Firm break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. First segment there, Sir Alex Ferguson sound there, talking about Wayne Rooney and, of course, his thoughts on Jose Mourinho and what Manchester United is doing now. And, of course, I dropped that little bone that a little birdie told me that Manchester United in July is likely to be playing right down the road in Austin, Texas. So that's pretty interesting. I would imagine that's at the Carroll K. Royal Stadium. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're expecting momentarily here Darlington Nagbe of the Portland Timbers with U.S. Soccer, who Bruce Arena just cut his roster down to 23 players. They're going to take on Serbia on Sunday, and a number of guys have been sent back to their clubs. But one of the players certainly in amongst nine midfielders vying to be playing on Sunday is a very talented Darlington Nagbe. We're expecting to get him pretty quickly here. But let's talk a little bit about the U.S. roster here. And if you have any thoughts on it, 713-780-3776. So here are the names that were sent home. Taylor Kemp, left back. Keegan Roseberry, Brian Rowe, Will Trapp, and Chris Wondolowski. Jossie Zardes has a minor contusion right now. He is not going to be traveling and won't be a part of that game. Chris Wondolowski. Obviously, that's pretty symbolic that likely Wando is moving on from his international career. Don't want to read too much into it, but that's certainly a possibility at this point. I don't know if Will Trapp and Rosenberry getting cut is that surprising. Maybe. I think what we have to remember here is just because somebody has a good MLS season doesn't necessarily mean it translates into the international game and into the plans of a national team coach, in this case, Bruce Arena. We do know that the left-back position and the outside-back positions are of real concern. DeMarcus Beasley's brought back into camp. Greg Garza now is healthy, who's going to be at Atlanta United, played with Tijuana. And then another left-back has been brought back in from Santos, who played in Portland, Jorge Villafana. Yeah, it shows you there's thoughts going on there. Graham Zuzzi being tried as a right back now. It'd be interesting to see if he gets the nod in the right back position, which I think he probably will, based on this roster. On Sunday against Serbia. Midfield, Alejandro Bedoya, Michael Bradley, Benny Failhaber. Failhaber back after not being brought into the Klinsmann camp. If you remember that Darlington Nagbe, there was that situation not being in camp with Jurgen Klinsmann. So kind of interesting. I think it's always interesting to see these teams that are put out. Remember the year that the U.S. played here against Canada in Houston? It was, I remember calling that game. It was a god-awful game. Canada didn't try to play. But anyway. These camps can be the platform for people's careers internationally, and they have been. So, Jermaine Jones, Sasha Kljestan, Sebastian Legette. Here's another one in Legette that has a wonderful opportunity here to produce something here and make a bit of a mark at the national team level. So a couple to keep an eye on. Sebastian Legette, I think, is one. Garza, the left back, is healthy. The left back position, very important. Juan Agudelo has been in and out of national teams over the years. Capable of pulling off the spectacular, capable of pulling off the eye-popping moment, consistency. Jorge Villafana, again, brought in from Santos. And then how about Chad Marshall? Brought in 6 years. He hasn't played for the U.S. national team. Been the defender of the year a number of times in Major League Soccer. So Chad Marshall from Seattle in camp. Three strikers listed on this roster. Juan Agudelo, as mentioned, from the New England Revolution. Josie Altidore of Toronto coming off a very strong year scoring goals in MLS and with the national team, and then Jordan Morris as well. 713-780-3776 is a number. 713-780-3776 is a number. Any thoughts on the national team sort of roster put together for Serbia this Sunday? Three goalkeepers are David Bingham of San Jose. I like him. Nick Raimondo, longtime, very different and unique goalkeeper from Real Salt Lake, and then Luis Robles of the New York Red Bulls. So opportunity abounding here for a number of players. Very, very important camp with World Cup qualifying in the U.S., obviously losing their first two games, leading to the ouster of Jurgen Klinsmann. 713-780-3776 is a number. We forgot to mention Dax McCarty, also in that midfield, who was just traded from the New York Red Bulls to the Chicago Fire. So it's an interesting roster. Starts with Serbia. It's Bruce Arena, second time back with the national team. So very interesting times for the U.S. Quick moment here. I just want to mention Kings Court. Wonderful pub. Kings Court 903 Hutchins, right by the south side of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's great British food. It's great Indian food. Wonderful rooftop. They got a wonderful view of downtown. You can grab a meal down there. Some great DJs down there. DJ Yandan, Mr. 26. Great, great vibe. I'm going to be heading there after a lot of the Dynamo games this year. I've been down there a lot. We did a lot with the NCAA tournament down there as well. So it's Kings Court. Check it out, fans. Edo, corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs down there. All the soccer matches. NFL Sunday Ticket. It's the home of the Manchester United supporters group, headed up by Tom Clare, and also the Chelsea supporters group. They go there. 24 taps. They got a full bar. And it is a real soccer pub feel. Say hello to Jay. He is the guy to talk to down there. All right. So that's Bruce Arena's 23 suiting up for the Serbia match. So I mentioned year of revival for the Dynamo. It's a bit of a reclamation project. Wilmer Cabrera, the coach, it's a shift in philosophy here. We're going into an area which is different now with a Hispanic-based team. But before we get to that, let's go to Raymond. Raymond's got some thoughts on the U.S. men's national team. Raymond, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, I just want to say you have an awesome show. And did you see Landon Donovan's comments a couple of days ago about this team being the most talented national team?
No, I didn't. Enlighten me. Enlighten me.
It overall might be the most talented national team, but I mean, I look at that 2002 roster with Brian McBride, Claudio Reyna, Landon Donovan, DeMarcus Beasley, Brad Friedel, and like in my personal opinion, all of those guys, if you had a time machine, would be starting today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's. I think it's, you know, your personal preferences, your personal choices. Sometimes things are said, you know, at differing times. And remember, that was a very young team. That was a team that shocked the world, and it was a team that certainly. People weren't ready for those results there, and it made the Landon Donovans, the DeMarcus Beasleys, the Pablo Mastroianni's more household names.
Yeah, Ernie Stewart and who was the other guy? The guy who was playing over in Europe.
Tony Sana.
Can't remember his name now.
Tony Sana.
Oh, but how do you feel? How do you feel about that? I mean, do you think individual talent? Where would you put individual talent over team talent overall?
Well, it's a good question, but I think the U.S. has always been collective in nature, and I don't think there's any question. There's very good soccer players being produced now that are getting more and more experience. So, again, I think it's a very personal question that can be answered in a personal way. I think when Landon Donovan talks, people listen. Listen, Raymond, I got to move on because we have Darlington Nagbe coming on the show, but I do very much appreciate your phone call tonight. Thank you very much for that. And you know what? We'll batter that around a little bit after this interview.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Raymond weighing in there, talking about the talent level on the U.S. national team. Is it more than it was in 2002? Don't know. So I think we have Darlington Nagby now. Darlington, is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Darlington, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very good to have you on. Well, let's just talk a little bit about the reversal of fortunes here. You're in with the national team now. You're in with Bruce Arena. Times are pretty good right now, right?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Excited for the new year and hoping to help the team.
So talk to me a little bit about the camp and give our listeners a little sense of how the camp is going. And, you know, obviously it's new with Bruce Arena coming back into the team, mm-hmm. but obviously there's real pressure for you guys to prepare for what is a very important World Cup qualifying down the road.
Yeah, the camp's been good. Guys came in fit and ready to work, which we've been doing. Focusing a lot on ourselves, what we need to do to prepare for these qualifying games. You know, like you said, we have a big task ahead of us, but everyone's looking forward to it. Everyone's in good spirits, and hopefully we can get the job done.
Darlington, did the whole thing with Jurgen Klinsmann, did that get blown out of proportion by everybody?
I wasn't paying too much attention to it, so I'm not too sure or aware of it, but for me it was fine. You know, I'm grateful for Jurgen getting my first opportunity to get my cap, so I'm always thankful for that, and I'm just happy to be back in it.
So you got Serbia this weekend. Sort of the thoughts on going into that game. What's sort of the theme been in training for you guys without getting too heavy into anything?
Just play as a team. Be compact defensively. Play as a group. Make sure everyone is doing their job and doing their role. And from there on, everything else will fall into place.
Now, you know Chris Bondi, right?
Excuse me, who?
Do you know Chris Bondi? Who used to play in Major League Soccer for Dallas from Liberia, like you?
I'm not too sure of him.
G-B-A-N-D-I, Gabandi? Do you not remember him? The only reason I bring his name up is because he's Liberian like you, and he came over to the U.S. during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a similar story to you, and he is from the Houston area. But, you know, how much do you think about Liberia? Your father was a tremendous soccer player there, was an international.
Mm-hmm.
You live in the U.S. Obviously, you were raised pretty much here in the U.S., but do you think mm-hmm. much about Liberia, especially at a time now where the African Nations Cup is going on?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was born there, and my parents are born there as well. My brother was born there, and I still have family back there. So I always like to check up on once in a while on how everything is going back there and play a huge role. My upbringing and the culture that I've been brought up in, so I'm grateful for that opportunity as well. But Cleveland's been my home the past couple of years, so it's been a joy. It's been a joy being here in the States and getting the opportunity to play for the States. You know, but at the same time, I know that I was born in Liberia. I'm grateful for this opportunity.
He's Darlington Nagby joining us from U.S. Soccer Team Camp. Darlington, talk a little bit about Portland. I've had the opportunity to call a lot of games there, and it's always a very special mm-hmm. opportunity for me to even be involved. What is it like playing in that city with that fervor and just fever for the Portland Timbers and the support that you guys get?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing, especially two seasons ago. Like everyone felt how special the place was when we won the championship, and we were excited as players to bring the championship back to the city with the fans and the support. And not just the fans, but just the community, people that don't attend the games. You know, they're very supportive of the team and the organization and the work that they do in the community, so being able to step out there on the field with those fans, those passionate fans, I think the best fans in the league, and being able to represent them day in and day out, it's a huge accomplishment for me, and hopefully it keeps going.
Does that support and that healthy pressure, do you believe that lifts you as a soccer player?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, when you know you're playing for something more than yourself, and there's a group of people that love the team and they're so passionate about the team, you know, and their day depends on how the team does, it's good pressure. And when you're winning and doing well, it's great. And even in the bad times, they've been there and they've been supporting us.
How competitive has this camp been? Because I think it is a different camp in the sense that obviously the first two World Cup qualifiers have not been results. But from the vein of opportunity for players, including yourself, these are wonderful opportunities, aren't they, to have an extended period of time in front of a coaching staff?
Yeah, it's been really competitive. I mean, I've been in one of the camp before, and for me, I think it's always competitive because you have guys coming in here showing what they have, and everyone wants to be a part of the U.S. national team. So it's always competitive, you know, and hopefully I've been playing well enough that Bruce likes what he sees, and I've been able to contribute to the team however way possible.
Yeah, I look at this roster, and there's a tremendous mm-hmm. amount of talent on this roster. When you're in for a longer period of time like this, obviously it really partially becomes mental as well, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you're away from home and maybe you're not in the circumstances that you're most comfortable being in, being at home with your team in preseason. But I think over the month, you get closer with the guys, you learn more about the guys, and it starts to feel more and more like a team. And mentally, you just get adjusted to it. You get used to it. You know you're here to make an impression, so you try not to get too mentally out of sorts.
You know, it's interesting. I hear you get labeled a lot of different types of, positionally as a midfielder, all kinds of different things. Two-way midfielder, playmaker. How do you describe your own game, Darlington? Because I think that's really where it comes from.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I think I can do a little bit of everything, which I pride myself in. You know, being able to play multiple positions, I think, is why I'm the player that I am. You know, I like to get on the ball, get touches, get rhythm, and hope and try to make plays. But I have to get on the ball, getting touches, and doing the best that I can for my teammates and always put the team first.
I always like to ask, and I know you had an outstanding career at Akron. I always like to ask players what they do away from the game. How do you get away from the game, if at all? And do you have hobbies, or what do you do to sort of reboot yourself as a professional soccer player, where you're thinking about it almost 24/7 for large portions of years?
Yeah, well, I have an amazing wife and two beautiful kids, so I'm always busy with them after training or after games. You know, once you go home and you see the kids, they're 1 and 3. You know, they're busy, they're ready to work, they don't care about the game or practice or what you do. You come home, your daddy, so I feel like that helps me get away from everything and relax and focus on the life outside of soccer, which is really important to me.
Yeah, that must be a wonderful thing. Well, listen, Darlington, I thank you. I've enjoyed watching your career in Major League Soccer and calling some of your games over the years, and wish you the best of luck against Serbia on Sunday, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me. Appreciate
okay,
that.
You're very welcome. That's Darlington Nagbe, right. Portland Timbers U.S. national team in action against Serbia on Sunday, and appreciate him coming on. Seems all business, Darlington, and I kind of like that. Man of great talent, very soft feet. You mentioned, you heard him mention, he called himself an all-around midfielder. Loves to get a rhythm, loves to get a ball at his feet. I think if you looked at players in Major League Soccer purely for the aesthetic, the comfort, and sort of the natural movement with the ball at their feet, the effortless type of thing that so many of us would like to be as a player, you would mention Darlington Nagbe in that category. So we're looking forward to watching the U.S. take on Serbia this Sunday, and our thanks to U.S. Soccer's Michael Kammerman for setting that interview up, as he always does for me, and I appreciate that very much. All right, quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. So John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they're personal injury attorneys. John and his company, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. We all get in predicaments sometimes. It's going to happen. Could be a car accident, could be boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler and you have an accident. Could be construction. You work in a plant or a refinery, as we have many of those right and around the Houston area. Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Call them at 713-322-HURT. We'll take a gorgeous gale break.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
I'm
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Dynamo, it's, you know, energy, passion, it's teamwork. So all those things for me sound, when I hear Houston Dynamo, it's the passion, the heart, diversity of the city of Houston, you know, it's just for me is that. So hopefully we can continue bringing that to the city, and the players can express that on the field. So everyone is gonna understand that this is the culture of the club.
The thoughts there of Wilmer Cabrera talking about the newly found culture that's being developed here under Wilmer. You know, he's said a lot of different things as of late. We didn't bring him on the show tonight because he's getting settled here in Houston. But let's talk a little bit about what we've been hearing from him in the media as of late. He's talked a lot about, as you just heard there in that soundbite, passion, heart, teamwork, diversity of the city. There is no doubt. This is a major, major shift in philosophy from the Houston Dynamo when it comes to appealing to the Hispanic and Latino community, which is so important here when it comes to soccer. I think this was the only direction to go in after the last 3 years. I don't think there's any question. You have to test these boundaries. There are so many passionate people in the Hispanic community around the game of soccer. Why wouldn't you not want to tap into that vein? If you have anything to say on this, 713-780-3776. I talked about making changes that's going to make this club better. You know, he didn't take the job in the Rio Grande Valley, Wilmer Cabrera, to be in the Rio Grande Valley. This was an opportunity to get back in Major League Soccer. The man's ambitious. He's been a head coach in this league. He's had tremendous experience at youth international levels. As a player, had all kinds of experience playing in World Cups. So it's a different thing. You know, the Chivas USA era for him was different. He's mentioned that he's leaving that era behind him because that was a different circumstance there with a team that was basically falling apart and eventually going to drop out of MLS. I think everybody kind of saw that writing there. So it's not fair to judge him on that scene, although he did get a ton out of Cuba Torres there. He said in recent interviews, I like to be on the field, teach. And you do need to teach, especially young players. Loves the teaching side of it, the tactical side of it. He wants the interchange of respect between him and players, obviously. He wants to give them the tools so that they are comfortable playing the game. He calls it a player's game, Wilmer Cabrera. Talks about responsibility, but then also the ability for players to express themselves. They have acquired players that are more expressive, that are more dangerous, that are more interesting. I don't think there's any question when you talk about Romel Kyoto, the Honduran who's come in today, basically flew in tonight. When you talk about Albert Ellis, we're going to eventually find out how we're going to pronounce his last name this year. But he, like I said, he's had a lot of history with youth players and youth teams. He understands the system here in the United States, having been a part of it from the grassroots level on. And now he's got to blend and mix a bunch of cultures and create a playing style. And there are a lot of similarities here with Oscar Perea. So if you look at that, I don't think there's any question. When you hire a coach in this league, you are also hoping that coaches come with contacts for players around the world. He's shown that he's got those in Central America and South America. But the Dynamo certainly have to become more relevant in this city. I don't think there's any question. And we've talked about that for a while, and this is the truth. This is where this team is. This team, based on this roster, could have, if it makes the playoffs, and that's got to be the goal. Forget about talking about MLS Cups and all that. The goal is to get a more balanced team on the field. The goal is, and has to be in MLS to make the playoffs. I don't care if you're you know, an expansion team. It doesn't matter. It has to be to make the playoffs. You have to have the bar set somewhere. You know, they've had to spread a budget out. I know people have complained there's no number 10. But they've got penetrators. They've got athletic strikers. They've got guys who have a nose for goal, who want to score goals. There's competition at the striker position. It is a team now that is going to be able to break out based on pace and speed. He also mentioned getting players that can adapt to the climate and the weather here in Houston. No coach has ever talked about the climate and weather, I think, when it comes to putting a roster together more than Wilmer Cabrera in the past. He actually told a funny story about an agent or a friend of his trying to, you know, push off some Icelandic players on him. And he said, basically, he was quoted as saying, they're going to melt in Houston. But he has brought in more winners. And when I say winners, you look at Adolfo Machado, a captain at Saprissa, champion down in Costa Rica. Those fans absolutely love this guy. He's already taking on a leadership role for the club. You can see it already. Albert Elise, you know, he's at a club Monterrey, which is one of the biggest clubs in this part of the world. Competing with national team players in Monterrey to get playing time. So for those of you who say, well, if Ellis is that good, why didn't he play in Monterrey? Because he's 20 years old and he's competing with internationals on a daily basis. He's going to play here. Okay, Kyoto's going to play here. Wilmer Cabrera met the Monterrey president and put that loan deal together. But Elise and Kyoto, they're going to be able to switch sides of the field. They're going to be challenging opponents in different ways. They're going to create some matchup problems. Cabrera is going to try to create an environment to get Eric Torres to regain his confidence. He's going to be involved in the academy, which, boy, does that have to get in the right direction now. Yeah, just because you're acquiring PDL teams and all that, this has to have a plan and a vision. We're going to get James Clarkson on and Matt Jordan to talk about that at some point. But they've addressed the talent of this roster. They've addressed the character. They've got winners. They've got improved pace. They've got more balance. I can only see maybe three or four guys from last year's starting roster as starters this year. Guys that were starters last year are going to be fighting for playing time and are going to be reserves. And they're going to get playing time with international call-ups. But it's going to be interesting. The era of conceding soft goals the last couple of years is over. It's over. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a number of great interviews coming up. We've got Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan is going to be on the show. AJ De La Garza, the new Dynamo signing. We'll also have him. We've got Ricardo Clark, the veteran. A bunch more of things to come. Quick word here for Bud Light as I head to break. Just remind you that Bud Light has been a longtime sponsor of this show. And I can't say thank you enough to Bud Light because they brought soccer onto the airwaves. Longtime sponsors, get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light, your sport, the global sport. Bud Light is American grown and imported for the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston. Just get over to Facebook, like Bud Light, or follow Bud Light Houston. By the way, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. It's Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there, give us a like. Interviews to come. Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed, rolls on here. Take it away, Cameron.
ESPN 97.5.